I was greatly struck this week in studying the cross work of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And I was thinking of the fact how the Lord mentioned Jonah in reference to his death for us on Calvary. And I remember the circumstances that surround that wonderful story of the acknowledgement of the Savior and paralleling his own death with the attempt of the man Jonah in trying to dress over his mistake and his sin. And I thought that in this story in the Old Testament and New, we have the greatest sinking at sea, which never happened. It was all set up, and Satan thought that he was going to end the ministry of Jonah. But no, it was only the beginning of the ministry of Jonah. From all eternity, God ordained that his Son would parallel the work of Jonah and would explain the difference and also the idealism of the both parties. It is a strange story that we read about Jonah, but it's completely unique. We have the picture of the Lord's church, and it is in difficulty. Why? Because the man of God that had the job to do refused to do it. How much the Christian church has refusals from those that should be obeying the commandment of our blessed Lord. And of course, Jonah was given his orders, but he would not take them. What did he do? He ran away. There are many of God's people today, and they're running away from the commands of our Lord. I take up my Bible. I read what Christ said about Jonah. And I read the other references. And here was a ship that Jonah thought he could use to escape the commands and orders of the God of heaven. But that was a ship that could not sink. It was a ship that had its resurrection renewed already. And if there was one ship that was going to stay above the billows, it was this little ship. How God chooses the weak things of the world to confound the mighty. But the greatest delivery ever recorded is recorded in this great story. We find that the captain of the ship, he was very, very distraught about what was happening. The man that should have been wide alerted to the facts, Jonah, he was sleeping. A terrible storm was brewing and coming, and that little ship was being shaken by a terrible storm and battered by terrible winds. And the captain went down and he awakened Jonah and he said, "What are you up to?" And Jonah said, "Well, I have disobeyed God. I have left undone the thing that I should have done. I have done the things that ought not to have been done, and here I am." And he said to the captain, "The only thing you can do is throw me overboard. Get rid of me, because I'm a cargo that cannot bring you any help." But that old captain, his heart was touched by the plight of the folly of the prophet of God. And he did everything. He did absolutely everything to keep the ship on the waves. But it was to be no avail. And Jonah said, "I have to part company with you. And you have to part company with me. I've got to go over the side and disappear from this ship. And when I disappear from this ship, your trouble's over. Peace will come." But those shipmen did their very best to get to land. But they couldn't get to land the way that they thought they could. I want you to think of that group of hardened sailors, headed with their master and captain, standing there in the side of the vessel, while that vessel was shaken as it never been shaken before, and a hurricane seized it and tossed it up and down upon the mighty waves. The power of the winds and the power of the storm and the power of the rain, and the power of those that cried because they were looking into the face of death. And all they could do was take into account what Jonah had said. And out of this ship he was to go. And I see those men lift him up, carry him to the side of the ship, and throw him out beneath the waters. I can see the body of Jonah floating downwards and downwards and downwards and downwards, until it reached the bottom. I saw the men who had thrown him out of their ship actually making an altar and offering a sacrifice to the true Jehovah God. And I'm amazed at what is taking place. All of those hard seafarers were all converted to the true God. But the one man who should have been leading the revival of religion, he was in obedience, in disobedience to the God of heaven. And we find Jonah in the belly of the fish. Isn't it interesting to note that when we come to the New Testament, we find that the one fish that takes top place in all the talk about fishing is the fish that took Jonah and put him into the first place in the fish's belly. I want you to think about that. Down in the depths, down in the darkness, down in the very seat of the storm, there was a place for Jonah. And a place that God would mark forever in his book. Who would have thought that this man in the wheel prepared to take him, and in a place made by God in the fish's belly, who would have thought that that would be the great symbol of the greatest victory of all time? And what is the greatest victory of all time? The resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. A picture of resurrection in such a time. And thank God, praise his holy name, we who are saved by his grace, thank God we enjoy the blessing that is here set forth before us. As Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the heart of the fish, or in the body of the fish, so our Lord was to have be 3 days and three nights in the belly of the earth. That was God's eternal truth. We mark here the fact that nothing can destroy the work of God. Nothing. God is in the master's place. God is the captain of our salvation. God is Lord of lords and King of kings. And Jesus shall reign where'er the Son, the reigning Christ. And we see a picture of the reigning Christ here as we see it nowhere else in all the Bible. What a picture. What a truth was being taught. The truth was learned quickly by the men on the ship. The heathen turned immediately to the God of heaven. But the prophet, where was he? He was down in the special cabin prepared for him. And he was there by himself. And in the quiet, something happened. His rebellion died, and faith was rekindled. His opposition to God evaporated, and God showed them there was a way of miracle. And so you know this story, how God spoke to the fish. And he said to the fish, I'm sorry for you. You couldn't digest a preacher. They're too tough in the skin and in the bone. And that's an impossible task. So I'm going to relieve you. You'll not need any stomach powders. You'll not need anything like that. I'm going to get rid of this man for you. And I noticed that he was vomited out on the shore. Vomited out. The fish didn't taste anything of the vomit. But the man who had rebelled against God had to pass that way. You know the rest of the story. You know how there was a place where this man of God was to speak and preach, but he ran away to another place. Nineveh is not Tarshish. Tarshish is not Nineveh. To run to Tarshish is to run away from God's will, God's plan, God's purpose, and God's work. Tarshish is the devil's substitute. It is a place of treachery and certain perdition. Beware of Tarshish. And I want you to do something with me. I want you to turn over to the Word of God. And I want you to turn to Matthew chapter 12. And what a chapter it is. Matthew chapter 12. And in Matthew chapter 12, at verse 39, we read these words. An evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given to it but the sign of the prophet Jonas. For as Jonas was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. And then I want you to turn over with me to the 11th chapter of the Gospel according to Luke. Luke's Gospel, chapter 11. And in Luke's Gospel, chapter 11, and at the verse 27, we read these words. And it came to pass, as he spake these things, a certain woman of the company lifted up her voice and said unto him, Blessed is the womb that bare thee, and the paps which thou hast sucked. And the Lord said to her, Yea, rather, blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. And when the people were gathered thick together, he began to say, This is an evil generation. They seek a sign, and there shall be no sign be given it but the sign of Jonas the prophet. For as Jonas was a sign unto the Ninevites, so shall also the Son of Man be to this generation. The verdict of God and the Word of God is spoken here in great plainness of speech. Now, when we turn to the Gospels, we find a wonderful thing. We find a great and glorious description of what was really happening in the mind of the man Jonas. What was happening? What was he thinking? He had run away. He had stood all the inconveniences of that runaway. He was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly. And now something was happening. All the pointers in this wonderful story are all pointing out that something is going to happen that will bring honor and glory and power to the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And when I turn over in the Gospels, I find the end of the story. I find there's a man hanging on the cross beside Christ. He is a man who has broken the law. His companion broke the law with him. They both were tried and sentenced to die. And one was hanging on one side of Christ and the other on the other side. And God speaks through that criminal. And that criminal acknowledges something. He acknowledges his guilt. There can be no pardon from sin until sin is acknowledged. And this man, he admits that he was a sinner. And he says to his criminal colleague, you were a sinner. And he says, we were both tried. And we were sentenced. We deserved to be tried. We deserved to be sentenced. And here we are taking our judgment. But then he says to his colleague in crime, I want you to notice something, that the Savior who hangs between us, he had no sin. He broke no law. He did no violence. He was clean and pure, the holy incarnate God. And he said, he's here with us. We deserve what we're getting, but he doesn't deserve it. And then he turns to Christ and he makes a prayer. A short prayer. It was a cry for salvation. And that simple cry from the criminal hanging on the side of Christ was heard in the heartbeat of the Savior's being. And he turned and he said, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. There was a time you wouldn't have me. There was a time you hated me. There was a time you rioted against me. There was a time you broke my laws and brought pain to my heart. But from today, we're together forever. Oh, the wonder of God's forgiveness. And there was a hallelujah revival at Calvary when that man, what a jewel in the crown of the Son of God. One of the old Methodist preachers preached a sermon on the salvation of the dying thief. And in only words that a Methodist minister could use in those days of the great Wesleyan revival, he described the stranger who walked with Christ on resurrection morning when they were received in the city of God. And he said, the angels gathered, and they said, who is this man walking with the Lord Jesus? Who is he? We never heard about him. We didn't know him. He wasn't among the apostles. Who is he? And the angel said, we don't know him either, but he's here. And it looks that Christ and him are one. They're one. And so they were. Because that dear man had cried, remember me. Someday we'll shake hands with the dying thief. We who are saved. And what a day that will be. I want to take him down to the river that parts the great city of God. I want to sit under the trees and I want to talk to him of that day when he said from the cross, we deserve what we're getting, but this man has done nothing amiss. If Christ had done anything amiss, there would have been no salvation. There would have been no gospel. There would have been no Bible. There would be no such thing as the subject of grace. But thank God, Jesus knows all about our struggles. He will guide till the day is done. There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. No, not one. Is there someone sitting here tonight and you feel that you have no friends? You feel that you have no future? You feel that you have just to go on down the broad road and at the end of the day it is the blackness of darkness forever? I have good news for you. Jesus knows all about our struggles. He will guide till the day is done. There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. No, not one. And I trust as you sit in that seat tonight, you will call upon the Son of Man who came out of the depths and bowels of the earth to demonstrate resurrection power. And thank God there's resurrection power in the Son of God. Believe on him. Trust him. Cry out to him. He will save you. Hallelujah. He will save you now. May God help you to do it now for Jesus' sake. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for the joy of this great passage of Holy Scripture. And we thank Thee that Jesus knows all about us, but He's the one who can save us, and He can save us now. Oh, touch hearts. That man that's sitting in the gallery, that woman that's sitting downstairs, that child that's sitting with their parents, oh, work in their hearts, and grant tonight they may call upon the Lord, and whosoever shall come and call on the Lord shall be saved. And God's people said, Amen. And Amen.